Holy Father, thank you for this morning, God. Thank you for the fact that even though there's load shedding, we've got amazing technology, generators, not the newest technology, God, but still very powerful, and they allow us to have PowerPoint, amplified sound, and God, I just really want to pray that you'll help this time as we look at a great many scriptures together, God, as I share some thoughts and some examples, that you'll help open our hearts, that each one of us, we use our words in different ways. And God, I really do believe that as we use our words in more positive, more encouraging ways, as we listen to you and the way that you want us to use our words, God, we can have a great impact on those around us. God, I love you so much. I thank you so much for this wonderful family that we get to be a part of. And thank you so much for this worship service. We love you. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Words. I don't know if you knew this, but the English language, so I did a little bit of research, and the English language apparently has between 140,000 words and 1 million words. Now, if you ask me, it's like, man, who on earth comes up with these stats? I mean, it's not like those numbers are close, right? I mean, 140,000 to 1 million is a big, big difference. And I think it's one of those things where you have to go and look at where these definitions come from. But sometimes it does depend on how you define a word. You know, you might hear your teen say some slang word that's, you know, that's trending at school, and you'll be like, what on earth does that mean? But if you have a look, eventually those kind of words make it into the dictionary. So the dictionary is always growing. It's always changing. And I don't know if any of you play Scrabble. Okay, a couple of you played Scrabble before. Nowhere does contention about words get more heated than in a Scrabble game when it comes to the two-letter words. I've put some of them. For those of you who don't play Scrabble, you may or may not be able to see them. It looks like none of these could possibly be words. But for the seasoned Scrabble player, this can get you out of trouble from time to time. I won't even tell you, begin to try and explain what they mean, because I have no idea. But, you know, words are interesting. That, you know, in kind of the average vocabulary, apparently you use about 2,000 to 2,500 words on a regular basis. So even though there's possibly up to 1 million words in English, we don't use all of them. Okay, we don't use all of them. And I know some of you maybe use a little bit more, right? Okay, some of you maybe a little bit less, but I won't mention any names on either side of that spectrum. But obviously English is just one of many languages. Arabic has as many as 12 million words. I mean, that's intense, right? There are multiple different forms of each word. In Japanese, you can get away with about 3,000 to 5,000 words, okay, but they need to be the right words, but you can get away with that. IsiZulu, you're talking about 300,000 words that, you know, they make up the way that we speak in all of our different languages. Now, some of the older members of the church might recognize this culture, and if you know it, you can shout it out. Klingon, okay. Now, Klingon, interestingly enough, actually has its own formal language. Klingonese or Klingon, you can call it either or, has literally, it has a dialect. There are about 20 to 30 people in the world that can speak Klingon to each other, about 3,000 words, so as much as you would use in a kind of regular conversation in your home language. And Shakespeare has been translated into Klingon. There is an Institute of Klingon Language. Maybe it's not a huge thing. I mean, 20 to 30 fluent speakers is not a lot, but that's pretty wild, right? I mean, imagine a language literally made out of nothing based on a TV show from the 1970s. I think it was about 1979 when Klingon first came onto the scene. But words are powerful. They are powerful things. They really are. And yes, in a dictionary, they're all jumbled up. And yes, we can argue about definitions and meanings and how many words should be included. But words allow us to communicate with each other. They have power. And the Bible guides us tremendously on how to use our words in a godly way. Read with me here from James chapter 3. It says, when we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. Pretty intense, pretty brutal, that you've got this small little muscle in your mouth, but that's so powerful in controlling and steering the direction of your life. And, you know, we can say all kinds of things, and sometimes those things can be very hurtful, right? I mean, you can say things that tear people down. Doesn't matter how big or small you are, how old or young, you can say things that tear people down, that hurt them in their core. You can twist a person's heart just by saying something to them that really strikes a nerve. That words can really break. They can really break down, and even when you don't mean them to. And you know, if you had to think for yourself over maybe situations where you yourself have maybe been broken down by something that someone has said, right? And maybe they didn't even mean it. Conversation that you had, they said something, it was insensitive to you, they didn't notice, you part ways, and you're like, oh my goodness, that wasn't so nice. Even texts, right? Hey, it doesn't have to be spoken word. Even emojis. It's a kind of language. Way we communicate can hurt. But you know what? Words can also build. We can use those very same words, that very same rudder that's in our mouth, to encourage people, to build them up, to redirect their lives, to help them. They can make a difference. They really can. And you know what's radical is that God, as much as we want to base our view of ourselves on how we feel about ourselves, so hey, if I've got good intentions, then I want to be judged according to those good intentions. What's radical? Have a look at this, at how God holds us accountable to our words. He says, but I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they've spoken. For by your words you'll be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Oh man, how hectic is that? I mean, sometimes when you say a careless word and you're like, oh my goodness, but at least I didn't mean it. It was careless. It was a mistake. But we will be held accountable to those. We can't just say, oh, it was a mistake, it was careless. We need to be careful about our words, and we need to keep working on them. By your words. This is important stuff, and today we're going to keep it very simple. I'm just going to talk about 4 points about our words, about our tongues, and hopefully they will give some direction as we go into our week. Now, I think the first one, and this should be fairly clear, is that words expose your heart, okay? Words expose your heart. And Jesus spoke about this in Matthew 12, where he said, for out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, I don't like that. I don't like that. I like the idea that I can say something and say, I didn't mean it. Or that there's some separation between what I said and what's really going on in my heart. But out of the overflow of our hearts, that's really what comes out of our mouths. And you know, those words that you speak, quite simply a window into your heart. That's it. A window into your heart. You know, angry words, they so often come from an angry, hurt heart, right? Rude words, so often come from an unhappy heart. Spiteful words from a bitter heart. Unkind words from a selfish heart. Not thinking about the other person, you're thinking about yourself. Even gossip often comes from a mean or a jealous or an insecure place when we use our words to talk about someone behind their back. Now, I've heard some pretty harsh conversations in some of our households. Either I have heard them myself, or I have had some of you tell me about them from different ages, from the children's side, from the parents' side. And what I want to remind you is that in a harsh conversation, let's just say between a teenager and their parents, there's a real temptation in that moment to feel like I am being this way because of them. I am angry. I'm being harsh because of what you did, mum or dad. Or I'm angry and I'm frustrated and I'm saying these things because of what you did, my child. And yet I think it's so important for us to remember that, whoa, 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 wait a minute. Those things can still be said. But if they're angry and if they're harsh and if they're unkind, it's not because of them. It's because of you. It's because of what you've got in your heart that's coming out. And it's not just harshness. You know, when I was in a new, kind of fairly newish relationship with Maura, who's now my wife, I used to take opportunities in public settings to make jokes about her. With her there. And, you know, I thought that I was being so funny and I could get a cheap laugh out of my friends and out of my family at my wife's expense. Good idea? Now, why didn't you tell me this, you know, tell me this a little bit earlier? But, you know, eventually she confronted me on it. And, you know, this was now certainly a while ago. I was like, but listen, I mean, I'm making the crowd laugh here. I mean, you know, just ease up a little bit. You know, what's the big deal? And, you know, I thought, hey, I'm just keeping things light. I don't want our relationship to be too heavy. I don't mind if you want to poke fun at me. Like, I'm an equal opportunity joke maker. You know, why are you making this so difficult? But really, what came out that I was totally blinded to at the time was what was in my heart was a lack of respect. I didn't see it at the time. I thought, hey, equal opportunity joking. It was unkindness, selfishness, and also my own insecurity, right? I mean, how often do those of you who like to make jokes as a defense mechanism? Takes the attention off of you, maybe there's a little bit of people pleasing in there, but really there was all of that stuff in my heart that I wasn't aware of, and it was coming out in the jokes I was telling. You know, you can't separate what we say from what's in our hearts. And your words, really, they expose, right? Now, the second point, also a fairly simple one, and I really didn't want to include it because I'm totally guilty of this, but I thought that was enough of a reason, right, to include it. Talking too much is a sin. I wish I had a better way to say it. I wish I had a better way to say it. But I think some of us, including myself, we need to hear this because it's in the Bible, right? Proverbs chapter 10. If you've never considered this before, just have a look at Proverbs chapter 10 here. Where there are many words, sin is unavoidable. But the one who controls his or her lips is wise. Oh man, how's that? I mean, you can't slip and slide, right? If you talk too much, then there's sin in there somewhere. And we can call it different names and we can find out where it comes from, but it is unavoidable. And you know, talking too much, it signs of all kinds of heart problems. We've already spoken about that. What's the big one? Pride, right? If you like the sound of your own voice just that little bit too much, it's so often a sign of pride that we think our opinion is the best and the most important, that we are quite happy to surround ourselves with people who don't like to talk as much as we do. And here's the thing, when they don't talk so much, we take it as a license that they want to hear more from us. Now, for those of you who aren't big talkers, when you don't talk so much, is that a license that you want the loud, opinionated people to keep going? Okay? And as I've increasingly become more aware of this, and again, from a talker myself, when these scenarios happen, I look around at the non-talkers, and you know what I see? Not when the talker's looking at you, when the talker's looking that way, right? So often we think our opinion is so important, and yet the people around us don't necessarily agree. You know, so often talking too much, it's a sign of selfishness in a relationship. Hey, I've got a great friend, and I'm so great. I get to do all the talking, and I offload my problems and how tough my day was. And we love to do that because it's therapeutic, right? Like, it's nice to talk about, you know, you want someone to witness your life. I love talking about my week and my day and what's happening at work, because I feel like as I get to tell you about it, I feel like I'm not in it alone. Like, you also get to see what's happening in my life, and you know, it's therapeutic. When we've done something wrong, to talk about it. When we're feeling hurtful, to talk about it. These are all wonderful things. But if you're in a relationship where you're the only one doing it, you're being selfish. You are being selfish. You know, teens, and this is true not just of teens, do you ask your parents how their week was? Do you ask them how their day was? I'm pretty sure they ask you how your day was almost every day, but do you ask them? I think it was one of those scenarios. It was actually with Greg and Tracy. I was this is now a couple of years ago when their son Warren. Most of you will know Warren. I was driving him to a teen devo, and we were driving together, and it was just the two of us in the car. And I know how it usually works. Hey, how's school? How's this? How's this? And you know, and if I don't ask a question, then there's awkward silence. And I don't like awkward silence, so I ask lots of questions. And then all of a sudden, like quite early on in the conversation, Warren says, "So how was your week?" I was shocked. I'm not used to having young people ask me how my week was. It was amazing. It was refreshing. Teens, ask how other people's days were. And also listen then when they give you answers, right? Okay? Asking and walking away doesn't count. But, you know, the fact that we don't ask, all it exposes is that there's selfishness. We actually like the fact that the world revolves around us. And the reality is that it doesn't. Okay? Sometimes we just need to hold back. And look, you know, there are, I will say this, there are sometimes tough situations where you may not know what to say. Okay? And in those scenarios, I've come to realize that one of the great philosophers of kind of the previous generation had it right. Maybe you're familiar with Ronan Keating, right? What did he say? Sometimes you say it best when you say nothing at all. It's okay to say nothing. Third point. Are you guys with me? Be careful with reckless words. Be careful with reckless words. You know, I remember a situation, it was as clear as day, the scenario, I remember how we were sitting, and we were having a little discussion amongst kind of a church leadership group in the church, and we were talking about our different strengths. And I think it's so easy to get into a mindset where you can think about your weaknesses, and you can get so focused on trying to fix your weaknesses. Whereas actually, you know what, those will most probably be with you in some form forever. But what about focusing on your strengths, what you're good at? Let's talk about that. Let's focus on that. So this is exactly what we're doing. And sometimes it's a lot easier to talk about what you're bad at. Oh, I'm bad at this. I'm weak at this. You know, when it comes to what are some of your gifts, what has God gifted you with to serve in the kingdom, it can be like, oh, well, you know, I don't know, and that's complicated, and our world is just a bit messed up like that, right? I mean, we should have clarity over how God wants to use us. So we're sitting in this setting, and we're talking about our strengths, and someone asked Maura, she was my wife at that stage, you know, kind of, you know, what would you say are some of your strengths? And before she had a chance to speak, I said she has the gift of control. Word of warning, do not do that. Do not do that. And, you know, just again, it was one of those scenarios where I hadn't planned it. It was just in an encouraging setting. I saw the opportunity to make a joke, and it was so unkind. She still remembers. I mean, this is now over a decade ago. She still remembers. I'm pretty sure she's forgiven me. But just because you're forgiven doesn't mean that the hurt goes away, right? She still remembers that. Reckless, reckless words. They hurt. And, you know, Proverbs 12 says, reckless words pierce like a sword. Reckless words pierce like a sword. And, you know, as I mentioned, I've often thrown a reckless word out there without thinking about it, without really processing. You know, when you do something or you say something or you send a text message and you didn't really think about it enough. And then all of a sudden, it pierces. And maybe in the moment, if there was a bad reaction, you feel like, yeah, but I didn't mean it that way. It was still reckless. And the hurt is still real, whether you meant it or not. Your good intentions just aren't enough. We need to be careful, right? We need to be careful what we say. You know, when Maura's mom had cancer, someone said to her, you know, it was kind of fairly new, and someone came to her at church and said, hey, you know, my aunt had cancer. And someone was like, oh, okay. Oh, but she died. Now, I actually have no doubt. I don't know who it is, so it might be one of you. I really don't know who it was. But, and I appreciate Maura for not gossiping. But I really have no doubt that in the moment, she was trying to be encouraging. Really, I have no doubt that it was a moment where she was trying to be encouraging. But if you go back and you think about that, it was reckless. It was actually very hurtful. And we still remember it. We still remember it to this day. Now, do we need to forgive each other? Absolutely. How often? All the time. Do we need to grow in not being so sensitive, some of us? Absolutely. We need to grow. Sometimes we need to be okay. Hey, sometimes we get sinned against and we need to move on. But reckless words can pierce. You know, Proverbs 29 says, do you see a man who speaks in haste? There is more hope for a fool than for him. I mean, again, this is totally me. I'm one of those people that, you know, when I get asked a question, and I envy people who are patient. I do. Because, you know, someone will ask a question and I'll say, can I think about that a little bit? And then they think about it and then they come up with an answer. And I'm like, that's cool. That's wise. I like that. For me, ask a question. Boom. Whatever comes, this is what I think. This is what I think. This is my gut reaction. But speaking in haste is dangerous. I actually like the Good News translation. Same verse, different translation. There is more hope for a stupid fool than for someone who speaks without thinking. Right? For someone who speaks without thinking. Oh, and there's so many examples. I can't give them all away because we'd be here forever, but you can think of your own and maybe you can discuss them in your own families or small group. But, you know, here's an interesting one. We live in a politically charged country. If you are white, okay, and you complain about the government, do you ever consider that sometimes that can be construed as saying that you would prefer the old one back? Now, you can say, no, that's not what I meant. But you need to be careful. What you meant and how that sounds can be two very different things. You need to be careful about your choice of words, especially when you criticize. We need to be careful when we compliment other people's spouses, right? You might feel like, hey, I'm being encouraging. Just be careful. Just be careful. Talking about weight. Commenting on how someone looks. Very often we can go in and we can have and I'm not saying that we shouldn't do this, but just make sure you've thought through it before you say it, because sometimes what you say might not land the way you intended. You know, talking about things that you have no experience in. I mean, I'm good at that. I see all kinds of things. I mean, many of you might have opinions about American politics, right? I mean, we can't seem to get away from it. Have any of you ever been an American politician? Have you ever been a politician? Have you even been to America? Do you even know any Americans? Have you read their constitution? It's like, oh man, we are like experts on things we know nothing about. Now, yes, let's have a conversation, that's fine. But just be careful, be careful. You make yourself look silly. Giving advice. Sometimes we just throw around advice as if we're the experts on everything. Giving encouragement, remember, when you give encouragement, try and filter. Make sure that it's encouraging before you give it. I'll give you an example, and it still happens, and we just need to keep working on this. We need to keep working on this. When is it okay to say to someone, you look tired? Most probably in the 10 seconds before they fall asleep. Okay? At church, just rather don't say it, even if it's true. Give the hug, give the words of encouragement, look, maybe it's okay. I've just never heard it land well. Okay, no one likes to be told that they look tired, okay? And maybe, you know, if they really look like they're trying to get you to acknowledge their tiredness, okay, just leave it. Okay? Still just leave it. Okay? Wow, you look tired. And look, if I say it, it's please just point it out and help correct me. You know, I've got so many examples of how it's those closest to you, you hurt the most, right? She's shared this, I've shared this before, maybe you've heard it, but we were also fairly young in our relationship. I think we might have been engaged, maybe early married. This was quite early on. We were walking with a group. I think we were in a mall or something like that. We were walking together. And she said, James, and tapped me on the shoulder. And in that moment, I said, yes, Satan. And then I, hey, don't judge me so early. No, I'm kidding. And so I said, yes, Satan. And then I was like, oh, it's you. I thought it was someone else. To this day, I mean, this is now 15, 16, 17 years ago. To this day, she remembers how hurtful it was. And even though I told her 10 times, 100 times that I was joking, it was actually a quote from Ace Ventura. I didn't even make it up. Okay? It was hurtful. And shame on you for laughing. Laughing at both of our pain. But, you know, it says in Proverbs 26, like a madman shooting firebrands or deadly arrows is a man who deceives his neighbor and says, I was only joking. You know, Vanna quotes this to me all the time. And when he does, I have to realize, because I'll say something, I'll say, just kidding. And he's like, listen, flaming arrows, friend, flaming arrows. It's just sometimes we can be so insensitive. We need to be careful about our words. We need to be sensitive in how we speak, and we need to be sensitive even in our jokes. And when we're not, we push people away. And they might not show it to you right there and then, but they'll walk away from you and they'll feel pushed away. They'll feel pushed away. You create a bad impression of yourself. You create a bad impression of the God that you represent when you're insensitive. We can hurt people and we can hurt those that we love. And I love it in James 3 when it describes wisdom from heaven. And it says, wisdom that comes from heaven is considerate. As we share wisdom with each other, it's okay to share opinions. We need to have conversations. We need to even engage in complicated conversations. But wisdom that comes from heaven considers. It's beautiful. We need to grow in how we consider others as we speak to them. Final point. Whoa, that was quick. I do have a couple more scriptures, so let me just quickly fire this up again. Are you guys hanging in with me? Okay. Are we back? Okay. Final point. Focus on words that heal. So look, we're going to mess up all the time. You're going to say insensitive things. You're going to hurt each other. And you need to apologize and you need to move on, right? It's just normal to, if you live, especially if you're living in the same household together with your family, you're going to hurt each other. But don't just focus on not saying the bad stuff. If you lavish the people around you with words that heal, it'll do amazing things. Kind words, generous words, upbuilding words are amazing, amazing healers. I love what Paul said to the Colossians here. He said in Colossians 4, let your conversation be always full of grace. Always full of grace. How often? Always. As you walk out of the service today, let your conversation be full of grace. You can heal. As you sit around the dinner table, full of grace. In meetings, at work, let you stand out as the one that's full of grace. As you sit in your classroom and you're discussing things with your classmates, full of grace. What about when you're mad? Even when you're mad, full of grace. What about you if you disagree with someone? Full of grace. Always full of grace. Even when you're hurt, it's often the hardest, right? When you've been hurt, you feel like you have the most right to be angry and to be harsh, to let them know, to let them feel the pain that they've caused you. Always full of grace. Now, I'm a believer in having tough conversations, right? I mean, I think that's one of the things that stands true discipleship out from kind of religiosity, is being able to say, hey, listen, you're on the wrong path here, and you need to change. And those conversations can be difficult, and they can even cut. The Bible even talks about wounds from a friend. But those wounds can be trusted, and even those tough conversations need to be full of grace. You know, we looked at a passage in Proverbs 12 earlier, and we only looked at the first half. We spoke about how reckless words pierce like a sword. But the second half of that proverb says, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Don't you want to be known as someone who has a healing tongue? The words that come out of your mouth heal those around you. They lift them up. Your children, they love to tell you about their problems. Why? Healing words. Your friends, they love to speak to you, and they want to be around you. Why? Healing words. Beautiful. You know, we live in an anxious world, and Proverbs 12 verse 25 says, anxiety weighs down the heart. I bet you all of you have felt this at some point, maybe even in the last week. Just that anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up. You know, there is a thousand things that can put pressure on you and that can weigh you down. But let those around you offer you kind words to cheer you up. And let you be the one that, in spite of the thousand pains that your friend or your child or your spouse is feeling, that they experience from you the kind words that heal and lift them up. You know, we're all under pressure here. And we need to hear the truth and we need to be corrected and all of those things, absolutely. But we also need to hear a lot of we're doing okay. I mean, if you're a parent, you know that feeling, right? There is no time that you feel like you're doing okay as a parent. It's a heavy burden. But there's something so refreshing about someone just coming up and saying, hey, listen, you're doing okay. You're doing okay. You're a hero for hanging in there. Things aren't perfect, but well done. As parents, we are very acutely, most of us, acutely aware of our failings. It's just not so easy to manage a household. But I think, you know, to hear from your friends and from your family that you're doing okay, I love it. Every now and again, my son, now he's still young enough that, you know, he must probably sees more of my good than my bad, right? And that changes as you get older, right? As you get older, you see more of your parents' bad. But, you know, every now and again, I'll say, Dad, you're a good dad. And man, it makes me feel like $1 million. Just those little words that come out of his, that come out of his mouth. Proverbs 16, it says there that pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. You know, to close off today, before we have communion and Neil comes up, just one last thought. You know, we can't all afford a therapist, okay? Sometimes I wish we all could. I think it would be helpful. But you know something that heals us, no matter who you are? Kind, sincere words. Kind, sincere words. And you don't have to pay for that. You don't need a therapist to help you get the healing that can give. And, you know, if you can have around you, and if we can create in our family groups and in our families and in our fellowship a place where we can experience love and acceptance, in spite of how you're feeling, in spite of the anxieties, in spite of how you are beating yourself up, the guilt that you feel, a place of love and acceptance, in spite of the terrible things that you've done. We've all done terrible things. In spite of the things that have been done to you, in spite of the things that you've been through, healing can take place if it's an environment of love and acceptance. And, you know, we carry so many burdens, our fears, our anxieties, our regrets, and we just need to hear a healing word sometimes. Just someone to tell us that it's okay. And I love how Paul sums up really the whole lesson in Ephesians 4, where he says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." Church, let's use our words to build up, and let's be careful with our reckless words. Amen. Why don't we say a prayer, and then we'll welcome Neil up. Holy Father, thank you so much just for your amazing scriptures, God. I know we bounced around from the Old Testament to the New Testament to Jesus to Paul to all over the place. And God, there's so many more verses. There's so many more topics that we could study out on this particular subject. But God, please just help us to grow in the various areas that we need to grow. And God, each one of us is at a different place. We've got different strengths and weaknesses with our tongues. God, I know some of us need to learn how to speak more. Some of us need to learn how to speak less. But God, all along, please help us to be guided by you and by your Spirit. We love you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.